Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Hello, everyone. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your support. And I do mean liking and subscribing. Yes, I have to say it. I have to remind us. I remind myself that liking and subscribing isn't about capitalism or, you know, ego or any of that. It's our bodhisattva, because through liking and subscribing, the YouTube algorithm goes, huh, what? And we start to rise, our position rises in the searches for others who are looking for, what's this Buddhism thing? How do I practice Buddhism correctly? Well, you don't want to get all that bogus information that's out there. You want them to get real, true, correct information. Nichiren doctrine of Shakyamuni's Lotus Sutra teaching. Self-realization, self-manifestation of identity, of Buddha-ness. Yes? So by liking and subscribing, you help to make that happen. It's a bodhisattva effort. That's why I ask of you to do that. As for support of this channel, the website, the books, all of that, you are doing your part just by your practice, liking and subscribing, but also, if it's possible, through your donations, through Patreon or PayPal. There are a few of you who are doing that, and it's essential. Thank you profoundly. We all thank you, not just me. I'm incurring, you know, the bills, the effort, and all of that stuff. But that's just what I have to do to exercise my bodhisattva effort. This is the way I do it. And your support in doing that, it's essential. So I can't thank you enough, simply because I'm just one man, and many people who are watching this channel are also appreciative that we're doing this together. So thank you, patrons. Today we start the reply to the Honorable Sarenbo. And I don't even know if I have the actual... Yeah, somehow I ended up with just the background in here. I'll have to... You know, I haven't reviewed this book in a long time, and I may have missed the actual letter. But I think the background may be useful. This letter, dated the 11th day of the second month of 1272, was sent by Nichiren Shonin to Sarenbo Nichijo, a former Tendai priest who, for reasons that are unclear, was also living in exile on Sado Island. Details about Sarenbo are scarce, but it is known that he was originally from Kyoto and that he had studied at Mount Hiei, the seat of the Tendai school, before his exile. He was also present at that Tatsukahara debate held in front of Samaibo, the shonen's dwelling at Tsukahara, on the 16th and 17th days of the first month of 1272. In this debate, Nichiren was the clear victor over the Pure Land and True Word and other priests from Sado and from various provinces of northern Japan. A number of people converted to his teachings at this time, among them Sarenbo. So, I said in the last, the Heritage on the Ultimate Law of Life, that this was probably written to a samurai. Hey, Chloe. My little dog is here with us. But now I'm thinking that this letter was written to Sarenbo. And that's why I only have the background here. I'm quite sure that's what it is. Sarenbo was a highly educated priest, monk, to whom the shonen sent several important essays, including The True Aspect of All Phenomena and The Heritage of the Ultimate Law of Life. There it is. He had a number of unresolved questions about a Buddhist theory, and he addressed them one by one to Nichiren, who in turn answered these questions in written form. The shonen praised him, saying, "How admirable that you have asked about the transmission of the ultimate law of life and death." In his reply, the shonen offers a look into the wonder of the Buddha's own enlightenment, as well as the practical means whereby ordinary people may attain the same end. In the first paragraph, the shonen states that Namu Myoho-Renge-kyo is the heritage of the ultimate law of life, and that the transmission of this law is made from the Buddha to all living beings. Then he refers to the question of how we can inherit the ultimate law of life and manifest it within ourselves. So I would say it differently, because that sounds like we are... There's always this problem in samsara of thingifying everything. And it's showing itself in the verbiage here. So the heritage of the true law of life, the process, as I call it, of life, which the engine of which is the universe. It's our greatest example. We're a small portion of that same engine manifesting potential moment to moment to moment, right? So when this document, this commentary says, how do we inherit the ultimate law of life, and how do we inculcate it, right? Well, the truth of the matter is, it's already there, right? You know, do you have to find somewhere outside of yourself justification for being? No, you're just being. Whether you treat that being with respect, dignity, or stupidity and animality and violence, that's on you. It doesn't change your beingness. Right? But your attitude, your intent with beingness is completely reflected in your experience of the entire process of life. Yours, as well as hers and his and theirs and the galaxy and the universe. I mean, what's the appeal of looking out at the stars at night, if not very self-referentially seeing ourselves in it? Everything's about self and ego in samsara, but our ability, our potential to perceive that entire drama as equanimous, as happening in absolutely everything, not just self-centered, but self as part of all self, of the universe, of the tables, of the friends, of the neighbors, of the plants, of the everything's happening moment to moment. Just like me. Just like you. In that sense, there's no difference. In that sense, there's physical difference. I'm not saying there. I'm not being magical here, but I'm saying at a subatomic level, we are all energy manifesting. And what's amazing, what's brilliant, what's awe-inspiring is this collection of energy being expressed in so many unfathomable, uncountable ways. Look at how different you are from me. And yet, fundamentally, we're doing exactly the same thing. But look how different you are. Wow. Look how different. Look. Ooh, just notice how crepey my skin is. Our own change over time. Constantly changing. Never the same. It's humbling. It's humbling to get off of that false pedestal that says, I am. Baloney. Your being, you're constantly in change. Num, num, pretend, 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 pretend. Moment, 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 moment. Instantiating. You're never the same. You're never amming. You're constantly moving through time, space. You're momentum itself. Yeah, why is that humbling? Because it kind of destroys that singularity we think that we are. We're not that unique. But our contributions can be. Our contributions to the whole. This is where we can manifest our value, our dignity. Offer the engine of life that kind of homage, that kind of valuation, and see if it isn't mirrored back in your own life. Right? So, I'm going to slip right into the next one because that was just a background of the previous discussions. The meaning is of myo from the opening of the eyes, Gosho. Right? This book's about Daimoku. So there's going to be a lot of excerpts in here that deal with a single character of the Daimoku or a few of them. But I think it's important we remind ourselves when we're chanting Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, what are we actually invoking? What does it mean to chant those sounds? Don't think of them as words. Because they're totems, they're icons of entire years of teachings, conceptual understandings of life. When Shakyamuni Buddha was 72, he preached the Immeasurable Meaning Sutra on Eagle Peak in the kingdom of Magadha. Now you notice sometimes Eagle Peak, sometimes Vulture Peak, the Great Bird Peak, right? Always be sensitive to the fact that there are cultural, linguistics, and biases of language all over the place in Buddhism. Learn to see beneath the words. Learn to understand the meaning of what's being discussed instead of seizing on a word like eagle or vulture. Vultures are ugly. They're great, amazing birds. Stop there. At that time, he denied all the sutras he had preached during the previous more than 40 years. Right? We read that in the sutra. And all the fragmentary teachings derived from those sutras, saying, quote, in these more than 40 years, I have not yet revealed the truth. Really? I thought that's all you were talking about. We were on the way to it, but now is when I'm going to tell you. That's the Lotus Sutra, right? But this is the opening sutra, the Immeasurable Meanings. At that time, the great bodhisattvas and the various heavenly and human beings hastened to implore the Buddha to reveal the true doctrine. In fact, in the Immeasurable Meaning Sutra, he made a single pronouncement that appeared to suggest the true doctrine. But he did not elaborate on it. It was like the moment when the moon is about to rise. The moon is still hidden behind the eastern hills, and though its glow begins to light the western hills, people cannot yet see the body of the moon itself. Okay, very poetic, right? In the Expedient Means chapter of the Lotus Sutra, in the section that concisely reveals the replacement of the three vehicles with the one vehicle, right? Not Shravaka vehicle, not Pratyekabuddha vehicle, not the Arhat thing. That's all self, that's egotistical enlightenment for the self. That's not full enlightenment. Those won't get you there. The truth, which Shakyamuni is now expanding, there's only one way. There's only one truth. That's why it's the truth, because it's singular. That's the one vehicle, the way of instantiating Buddha-ness, the self-manifestation of Buddhahood. Yeah? The Buddha briefly explained the concept of 3,000 realms in a single moment of life. We've talked about that a lot. The doctrine that he had kept in mind for his final revelation. But because this was the first time he had touched on the subject, it was only dimly apprehended. I think I know what he's talking about. Not sure. It's like any subject you took in school. You study for years and years, and then suddenly there's a big shift in thinking. And you're like, oh, I think I know what he's talking about, but I don't quite get it. What's she indicating here? Right? Maybe when you first started algebra, or long after you learned algebra, trig, or maybe even calculus. Like the first note of a cuckoo heard by someone drowsy with sleep, or like the moon appearing over the rim of the hill but veiled in thin clouds, Shariputra and the others, startled, called the heavenly beings, dragon deities, and the great bodhisattvas together, and begging for instruction, said, quote, the heavenly beings, dragon spirits, and others, their number like the sands of the Ganges, the bodhisattvas seeking to be Buddhas in a great force of 80,000, as well as the wheel-turning kings who come from the 10,000s of millions of lands, all pressed their palms together and folded their hands with reverent minds, wished to hear the teaching of the perfect endowment, end quote. Right? We know this is about self-manifestation. This is the Buddha-ness that's already in the process of life that you need to awaken your mind to experience and witness it, rather than just floating along with it, right? Claiming little bits of it for yourself. It's actually vast. And the only way to experience that vastness is to interconnect, just like the biological thing that we are. It happens through bodhisattva-ness. This is when we truly expand our understanding, right? The passage indicates that they requested to hear a doctrine such as they had never heard in previous more than 40 years, one that differed from the four flavors and the three teachings. With regard to the part they wished to hear the teaching of the perfect endowment, it may be noted that the Nirvana Sutra says sad indicates perfect endowment. All right, the Saddharma Pundarika Sudra. Often sad is also conflated with the word myo or namu. Perfect endowment. The profound meaning of the four Mahayana treatises states, quote, sad connotes six. In India, the number six implies perfect endowment. In his commentary, Chitsang writes, quote, sad is translated as perfect endowment. In the eighth volume of his Profound Meaning of the Lotus Sutra, Tendai remarks sad is a Sanskrit word which is translated as myo, or wonderful. Bodhisattva Nagarjuna, in the heart of his thousand-volume treatise on the great perfection of wisdom, comments, quote, sad signifies six. Nagarjuna was 13th in the lineage of the Buddha's successors, the founder of the True Word, Flower Garland, and other schools, a great sage of the first stage of development, and the person whose true identity was the Thus Come One Dharma Clouds Freedom King. That's a personage, right? The characters Myoho Renge Kyo are Chinese. In India, the Lotus Sutra is called Saddharma Pundarika Sutra. The following is the mantra concerning the heart of the Lotus Sutra, composed by the Tripitaka master Shan Wu Wei, who Nichiren talked about at length too. The Nama Samanta Buddhanam Oma Amha Sarva Buddha Jna Sakshebya Gagana Sambhava. Anyway, Sadharma Pundarika Sutra Jahumba Hovrajra Kashraman Humshva. I don't know how to speak Sanskrit, but for what it's worth, it's quoted here, and immediately somewhat translated as, "Hail to all the Buddha's three bodies, thus come ones," right? The three bodies of Buddha, again, there it is, reward, manifest, dharma, all in one, yeah? "Open the door to show me, cause me to awaken, and to enter into the wisdom and insight of all the Buddhas, Namu. You who are like space and who have freed yourself from form, Sutra of the White Lotus of the correct law, cause me to enter into, to be everywhere within, to dwell in, and to rejoice in you, O adamantine protector, O empty, aspect-free, and desire-free Sutra." If I was looking for a definition of the two characters of Namu, I could scarcely come up with a better one. This mantra, which expresses the heart of the Lotus Sutra, was found in the Iron Tower in southern India. In this mantra, Sadharma means correct law, Sad means correct. Correct is the same as Myo, or wonderful. Myo is the same as correct. Hence the Lotus Sutra of the correct law and the Lotus Sutra of the wonderful law. And when the two characters for Namu are prefixed to Myo Ho Renge Kyo, or the Lotus Sutra of the wonderful law, we have the formula Namu Myo Ho Renge Kyo. Myo means perfect endowment. See, you may perceive this word Myo as you read this and many other accounts as seeming to be somewhat shifting. But listen, if you understood what I said earlier, or you took to heart this phrase, this thing that I stumbled through of Sanskrit, and then you read the translation such as it is, "Hail to all Buddhas, three bodies thus come ones, open the door to show me, cause me to awaken to, and to enter into the wisdom and insight of all Buddhas." Isn't that what I'm constantly telling you guys? When you go to your butsudan, you open it up and you focus on that mandala to penetrate your mind, your gohonzon opening of Buddha-ness. That is, it's an actuation, an invocation, a demand to shift into, to metamorphose your life through the witnessing, the observation, the all-knowing participation in potential, your potential, all potential, your Buddha-ness. Isn't this what we're saying here? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that correct? Isn't that all of these adjectives? Don't think of them as different words meaning different things. They're all stumbling through language to identify, because that's what we do in samsara. We identify everything. How do you identify the unidentifiable? You know it. You express it. You feel it. It courses through every molecule, atom, photon, electron in your body. And by the way, those electrons, those atoms, they're all around you. You're breathing them in and out. They're in him, her, them, it. Everything is these same particles. Every particle that's in you has been here since time without beginning. The universe. I'm absolutely serious. I'm not trying to be hyperbolic here. The realization of Buddha-ness is that unity. Not a collection, but a unity, a moment-to-moment expression of exactly the same energies. How do you capture this in words or adjectives for that matter? So this is what you're witnessing, reading stuff like this. Myo means perfect endowment, an interesting choice of words, because myo isn't in that statement wonderful or correct. It's a state of already being with you as discovering it, but it's already there. It's like water discovering for the first time that it's water. I didn't know I was this fluid that could be a solid, a gas, or a liquid. How could you not know, water? Well, I was too busy moving around. Right? Same thing. Six refers to the six paramitas, representing all the 10,000 practices. Is that really what it means? Well, yeah, it signifies that corpus of knowledge, of understanding. Thank you, scholar, for making that association so I can begin to explore the actual contents, merits of this sound character, myo. But is that what it is? No, because it's not an it. It's a experience, a knowledge, a witnessing. When people ask to hear the teaching of the perfect endowment, they are asking how they may gain the perfect endowment of the six paramitas and the 10,000 practices of the bodhisattvas. How can I actualize what these people I call bodhisattvas are actualizing? Something that's already there. You just don't know how to access it yet. Well, here it is. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. In the phrase perfect endowment, endowment refers to the mutual possession of the 10 worlds, while perfect means that since there is mutual possession of the 10 worlds, then any one of the worlds contain the other worlds, indicating that this is perfect, right? That often quoted teaching of the 10 worlds, which are in fact an expression of the 3,000 worlds or realms of existence in each and every moment. Here we go back here again. This is the process of life happening in every single moment. It's unfathomably immense, immeasurable. Oh gosh, we hear those words a lot in Buddhism. Yeah, because you can't quantify enlightenment. You can only recognize it. The Lotus of Sutra is a single work consisting of 8 volumes, 28 chapters, and 69,384 characters. Right? The point is being made again. It's not about the characters. It's about not about the finger pointing, but what it's pointing to, the meaning. Each and every character is endowed with the character myo. Each and every character in the Lotus Sutra, some are words, some are combinations of characters to make other words. All of those characters are there to lead you to an awakening, to insight, to aha moments. That's what the teaching is about, not the words. It's like digging a hole with a shovel. The shovel sure is handy. But if you forget why you're using the shovel and throwing so much dirt around, of what use is the hole? Each and every character is endowed with the character Myo, each being a Buddha who has the 32 features and 80 characteristics. Each of the 10 worlds manifest its own Buddhahood. As Miao Lo writes, quote, since even Buddhahood is present in all living beings, then all other worlds are, of course, present too. Every breath you take, every atom of oxygen, nitrogen, oxygen, that you're feeding into your body, that is mutating into energy for your blood, your tissues, your marrow, your cells. You are transforming right now. Are you aware? Or are you just moseying along, waiting for something to happen? Or are you aware of the amazing amount of activity that's happening moment to moment in your being? Shocking. That's what Buddha-ness is. Every single atom is going through this formation, instantiation, extinction, reinstantiation from potential to instantiation to abiding, right? Every cell in your body is regenerated daily. It's estimated that in about 7 years, every single cell in your body, eyeballs, liver, skin, hair, is new, has been replenished, therefore no longer. You realize what that's saying? That means that 7 years ago, I wasn't this. This is all new. And by the way, a lot of it not made as well as it used to be. Okay. That's aging, because it's not only true for each individual particle or energetic unit, but it's true for the assemblage of all of them, the amalgam, this freight train of karma moving along through space, perceiving something we call time. Never the same from moment to moment. So we can influence that transmigration from moment to moment. How do we influence it? With our attitude and our intent. If we're dedicated to our Buddha-ness, then how positively do we influence our awareness, our beingness? Right? The Buddha replied to the request of his listeners by saying that, quote, the Buddha's wish to open the door to Buddha wisdom to all living beings. The term all living beings here refers to Shariputra, and it also refers to Ichantikas, persons of incorrigible disbelief. It also refers to the 9 worlds. You may be in the hell of animality and struggling to find Buddha-ness and your hunger, and because we're transmigrating through 3,000 in each moment. We're just constantly navigating all these potentials, and what we choose to influence upon directs the next moment. Britta, britta, britta. Thus the Buddha fulfilled his words, quote, living beings are numberless. I vow to save them all, end quote. When he declares, quote, at the start I took a vow, hoping to make all persons equal to me, without any distinction between us. And what I long ago hoped for has now been fulfilled, end quote. We're going to stop there. I want you to think about this. Oh my God. Sometimes fingers just don't do the thing. Namo Myoho-renge-kyo. To attain Buddha-ness, to attain enlightenment, isn't to distinguish your ego amongst others. It is to rise above that very thing we call ego. And if you want to use that word, look at ego as the universe. Because all of this physical reality is just the expression of potential. Exactly identical to that expression that is you. Your container of it. Your amalgam of it. And as much as you can see that amalgam of you as separate, when you look deeply enough, there's no separation. It's like dropping a clear crystal ball into a body of water. It disappears. That doesn't mean you disappear. It means that you have this rare opportunity to perceive, to witness this equanimity in all things. No separation. That's all illusory. That's all created by that little monkey that wants to say, me, 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 me. This is all mine. This is how I identify me. Stop. Stop. Relax. It's not all you. You are all. Everyone is all. Everyone is you. Stop separating all this stuff. We're all moving through time space together. We're all going through and experiencing the exact same energies. Wow. That vision, that knowledge, is so expansive that the differences, they're almost funny. That we invest so much in them. Poor little human. Aw. Compassion. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Thank you for being on this journey with me. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Be kind to yourself. A lot of this stuff we're just blind to. It's not because we're stupid. It's because we're samsaric. That's our condition. But we can rise above it. We can rise around it. We can experience so much more of life. Right? Take care of your health. Be kind to yourself. Keep your practice strong. Be consistent. I thank you for that. And I will see you in the next one. Promise. Bye-bye for now. Myoho.